The portion of God's Word that we'll focus on this morning comes from that Gospel just read from Matthew chapter 4. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Troymon. That's what he always called me. Troymon. Hey, Troymon. You should be a pastor. As far back as I can remember, that was the first time that someone encouraged me to pursue gospel ministry. But that first encouragement when I was in elementary school certainly wasn't the last time I heard it. It frequently happened after that. For a while, it seemed like it was pretty much every time that I saw him, he would echo that same encouragement. Troymon, you should be a pastor. Do you know who that was? That he that I'm talking about, the one who first encouraged me to consider pursuing gospel ministry with my life? That would be Pastor Carl Otto. He was one of my pastors growing up here at St. Paul's, and probably a lot of your pastor here at St. Paul's as well. And that's why it's incredibly meaningful for me to be standing here, probably around 30 years later, in this pulpit, preaching on one of my home congregation's anniversary Sundays, especially the one where we're focusing on the worker training and recruitment of future called workers in the kingdom of God. It's a special thing for me, but it's also a very fitting thing for us as a congregation to focus on this morning, because that has been a major part of the 175-year legacy of St. Paul's Lutheran Church. And it's been that way since pretty much the very beginning of this congregation. You could say that the desire of St. Paul's Lutheran Church to encourage and train future called workers in God's kingdom is really the reason that Michigan Lutheran Seminary is where it is today. MLS, where I continue to receive encouragement and experience to pursue gospel ministry with my life. And where now, as the Dean of Students, I get to offer that encouragement to around 200 teenagers. You see, back in the late 1800s, the old Michigan Synod, that would later become a part of Wells, decided that they needed to start training pastors, faithful men who could shepherd the growing number of Lutheran congregations in the state of Michigan with the truth of God's Word. And so they decided that they needed to start a seminary to train those pastors. And so in 1885, they started a seminary and housed it in Manchester, Michigan. That's until 1887, when they decided they needed to move the seminary elsewhere. Now, at first, the plan was they were going to move that seminary to Adrian, Michigan. That is, until Pastor Christoph Eberhardt, who was a pastor at St. Paul's in Saginaw and the president of the Michigan Synod, made them an offer they couldn't refuse. He and his wife offered 2 acres of land in Saginaw, as well as the bell that's still prominently displayed on the MLS campus, if they would move the seminary to Saginaw. And St. Paul's, the congregation that Pastor Eberhardt shepherded, decided to pitch in an additional $1,000 to help the effort, which would be the equivalent of about $35,000 today. And so, literally, because of the desire of St. Paul's and its pastor to encourage and train called workers for the kingdom of God, the commute for the concert choir to get here this morning was a lot shorter than it could have been. You see, even after 1910, when MLS changed from being a pastor training seminary to a preparatory school, whose purpose is to encourage and give experience to teenage men and women to pursue gospel ministry as pastors, teachers, or staff ministers in our church body, even after that change, there has continued to be this strong bond of support and encouragement and collaboration between MLS and St. Paul's to do that all-important work of encouraging and equipping the next generation of gospel proclaimers. It's been part of our heritage and our legacy at St. Paul's for this 175 years. And that work is so important for us to carry out and to prioritize, because that's exactly what we see Jesus doing towards the beginning of his ministry in this world. Today's gospel that Noah, a son of St. Paul's, read for us this morning from Matthew chapter 4, it ties very closely in with the gospel that you heard last Sunday from John chapter 1. If you remember, in John chapter 1, John the Baptist identifies Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And after that, some of John's disciples, they started following after Jesus. They spent that day with Jesus, talking with Jesus, and learning from Jesus, and having their faith strengthened that Jesus really was the Messiah that had been promised. But it seems like after that first encounter with Jesus, they kind of went back to their old similar way of life for a time, as fishermen in Galilee. But then, as some time passed, we get to our gospel for today from Matthew chapter 4. And now Jesus is calling four disciples, the brothers, Andrew and Peter and James and John, to take their commitment to following Jesus and ramp it up a notch. Now Jesus is calling them to go into full-time gospel ministry, to spend all of their time learning from and following Jesus and being proclaimers of the gospel. As we heard Jesus call them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Such a calling would require them to leave behind their family and their friends and their former professions. It's a pretty lofty calling, right? But note how they respond to Jesus' call. We're told that at once they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? They don't tell Jesus, "Give us 3 to 5 business days to figure out what we want to do." No, immediately, then and there, they go to be followers of Jesus. They leave their nets in the water and dad in the boat, and they immediately enroll in hands-on classes at Jesus Seminary. And why do they do it? Not because it was going to be easy. No, the reality is that they took on more hardship and more grief and more heartbreak as followers and disciples of Jesus than they ever could have imagined when they first started following him. And it wasn't because it was going to lead them to a whole bunch of fame and fortune in their future, although maybe they had that hope when they first abandoned their boats. No, the reality is that out of those 12 disciples of Jesus, almost all of them had their lives ripped away from them as martyrs or spent out the rest of their lives being hated and persecuted and exiled by this world. So why do they follow Jesus? It's because they knew that Jesus is greater than and more important than anything else that this world can offer. And that there are people in this world who need to know that saving, life-changing, eternity-changing truth. And that there is someone who needs to tell them that truth. And that was certainly true in Jesus' day, just as it was true 175 years ago when a group of Lutheran German immigrants gathered together to worship their Savior in a town in Michigan where lumber was king. And it's just as true today as we give thanks to God for 175 years of his grace to this congregation. It was true when Jesus said it when he first called his disciples. And it was true when the Michigan Synod decided they needed to start training pastors to shepherd their congregations. And it's just as true today that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In recent synod communications, it was reported that currently there are around 160 pastoral vacancies and around 120 teacher vacancies in our synod. At a time when the gospel is reaching people to the ends of our country and really to the ends of the world, at a time when Wells grade schools are booming in certain places in our country. The truth of Jesus rings true today. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so the question remains for us, who will go? Who will tell them? It's really easy for our sinful nature to come up with a million excuses for why it shouldn't be us or our kids or our grandkids. After all, there are so many professions out there in the world that can make you a whole lot more money than being in ministry and give you a lot more financial security. And the fact is, ministry is no walk in the park. Sometimes it is challenging and frustrating and downright heartbreaking. Or maybe you feel like your skills and gifts could be a lot more purposefully used in a different line of work. And let's face it, the thought of your kids or your grandkids going off to some church or school in a different part of the country and making it so that you don't get to see them nearly as much as you would like to, that's kind of a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Or maybe you look at this world that seems to be going to hell in a handbasket and you throw up in your hands and you say, well, what's the point? Is it really worth my time and my effort and my support to encourage more people to go and pursue gospel ministry when is it really even having any sort of effect? It's easy for us to come up with a whole lot of excuses why it shouldn't be us or the people that we love. But if not us, then who? With such a great harvest that needs to be gathered in, with so many fish in the sea, as it were, if we are not the ones that go out to gather in that harvest, if we are not the ones who are the fishers of men and women, as Jesus calls, if not us, then who? May the same spirit and zeal that our forefathers and mothers in this congregation had to encourage and support the training of the next generation of called workers for the kingdom of God, may that same zeal drive us to do the same with our lives. Because there are people out there that need to know what we know, that Jesus is greater than and more important than anything that this world can offer. And indeed, when I say St. Paul's has a legacy in this area, that is certainly true, and it's backed up by fact. If you go back to the 150th anniversary of St. Paul's in 2001, if you look in the back of that church directory, it has a listing of all the sons and daughters of St. Paul's that went on to serve in the gospel ministry. And that reported that those that we knew there had been from St. Paul's had produced 58 pastors, 100 teachers, and one staff minister. And that was from 25 years ago. Not even counting all those in the last 25 years that have gone on to serve in the public ministry of the gospel. And now I don't have any concrete evidence to actually back this up, but it fits really well with what I'm talking about. I once heard a professor at the seminary make the claim that St. Paul's in Saginaw has produced more pastors in our synod than any other congregation. Again, I don't have facts to back that up, but I definitely imagine it's got to be true, or at least close to being true. See, this congregation has a legacy of encouraging and equipping and training the next generation of gospel ministers in the churches and schools of our synod. And the work continues today. Right now, there are 21 St. Paul's members currently being encouraged for ministry at Michigan Lutheran Seminary, with the number bypassing 30 if you include our non-members who have attended St. Paul's for grade school. Right now, there are 5 members of St. Paul's that are training for future ministry as pastors, teachers, or staff ministers at Martin Luther College, and 3 more that are currently at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, finishing up their last years of training before they become pastors in God's church. That legacy for 175 years has been strong, and it continues still today. So motivated by God's grace and following in the footsteps of our St. Paul's ancestors at this church, may we all continue to play a role in that all-important work. Young people, prayerfully consider whether God could use you and the gifts that he has given to you to serve in his kingdom, in his churches, or in his schools. Take to heart the encouragement that you receive in that area from people in their life who tell you that you could serve, that you have a servant's heart for the gospel, just like Pastor Otto once told me. Prayerfully consider whether you might be one that could go on to be a fisher of men and women. Believe me, there is no calling in this life that is more rewarding or more impactful. You that are parents, grandparents, or just simply friends, if you see gifts for ministry in people in your life, your kids, your grandkids, the kids that you know in this congregation, if you see gifts for ministry in those people, then encourage them to prayerfully consider it and pursue it. Tell them that you see those gifts. Because you never know the impact that such comments, such encouragement can have on a young person's life. Make the commitment to send your kids to schools like MLS, where they're going to be constantly surrounded by God's Word and constantly encouraged and get hands-on experience to see whether ministry is what God is calling them to pursue. And at the very least, they're going to be very well equipped to be leaders in their churches someday. And all of us, pray. Pray confidently and pray persistently to the one who tells us that the harvest is plentiful but the workers are few. Pray that he would send out more workers into his harvest fields. May the 175-year legacy of St. Paul's continue to be our legacy in the years to come as we do the all-important work of encouraging and training the next generation of gospel proclaimers. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.